It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody listening all over North America. I hope you've had a tremendous day. I'll be hanging out with you for 3 more hours. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in all over North America. My people in California, people in New York with our producer, Ryan Botcher, everybody in Canada. I don't care if you're in Toronto trying to beat the Yankees. You could be in Vancouver where it's absolutely beautiful. I appreciate you for being here. OK, you can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. The Major League Baseball playoffs are currently underway. Right now, this minute, the Chicago Cubs trying to stay alive. They lead the Brewers 4-2. It's the bottom of the fifth. The Cubs got one guy on first. They're trying to tack on another run to keep their season rolling. The Detroit Tigers, they keep their season rolling. The Tigers beat Seattle 9-3. Their series is tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 goes down in Seattle on Friday. We are minutes away from the New York Yankees trying to keep their season alive. The Yankees won last night against Toronto. They try to do it again to force their own Game 5. And then, of course, we have the Dodgers trying to eliminate Philadelphia tonight. There's a lot of baseball going on. And we talked baseball. We got into some football. We're going to get into some basketball as well. Giannis says, I'm in Milwaukee. I'm going to play hard here. But I'm a human. I could change my mind. How encouraging, Giannis. Hey, how about here? In an hour from now, it's going to be time for a new top six list. Give you some of the biggest diva wide receivers that we've ever seen in the NFL. We'll get into that in an hour from now. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Find me online at JR Sport Brief. We talked about Joe Flacco. He's getting a start for the Bengals. Shedeur Sanders, not necessarily quarterback number 2 for the Cleveland Browns. I shared with you that Kyler Murray. Arizona Cardinals just had an ugly loss against the Tennessee Titans. Kyler Murray, well, he might be hurt. He's dealing with a foot issue. He may not be available to kind of turn things around against the Indianapolis Colts. Stinks for him. The New York Jets trying to turn things around. They've yet to win a game this season. The New York Jets are 0-5. And next up for them, well, Denver. Not going to be easy playing against that defense. The New York Jets are struggling to score. Things are rough. Things are tough. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Pete Fuatek. collegefootballnews.com. We'll talk about some of the young quarterbacks in college football today. We'll have that conversation with Pete in about 20 minutes. But you know, we just mentioned the Broncos. Okay, what the Denver Broncos they're getting ready to take on the Jets. But what they just did against the Eagles, you know, going out there and beating them. A.J. Brown is complaining about his touches. Saquon Barkley not having the season he had last year. Eagles out here trying to overcompensate for A.J. Brown complaining. This is trouble in paradise. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. An NFL team just lost, what, their first game in 22? Their second loss in 22 games? Like, you got to find something bad. You got to find something to complain about. Philadelphia has a record of 4-1. They're coming off of a Super Bowl victory. They're almost returning the same team that they had last year. Woe is me. They got to complain. A.J. Brown has to complain. And I guess it's come to a head. Because this is what every sports team hates. Having a meeting, sitting down, hashing it out. What's the problem? In a lot of cases, teams have these type of meetings when the you-know-what hits the fan. Teams have these meetings when you got one guy who's just maybe tanking the team, but the team sucks. The Philadelphia Eagles are a good team. They should be competing out here for another Super Bowl. But they're having meetings about who's getting the ball and how many touches they're getting. And now the meeting is out. Like, it's public knowledge. What the hell is going on with our offense? Do we run the ball with Saquon? Do we have Jalen Hurts run the football? Does Jalen Hurts throw the ball 40 times a game? 38 times he threw the football in that loss against Denver. Saquon Barkley only had 6 carries. A.J. Brown had 5 catches, and they lost. They went away from what they typically do, punching you in a damn mouth. Nick Sirianni is always good for a quote. Well, he's good for a good ramble. Pretty hilarious. He's like that professor in school that's like, yeah, you might be a professor, but who told you that you could stand up here and be a public speaker? Nobody. Nick Sirianni. This is what he had to say about his meeting. Listen to this.
Love the fact that we all get together and are looking for solutions to continue to get better. That's just not a coaching thing. That's just not a leaders on the football team. That's this team. That's the mindset of this team is how do we keep getting better, be playing our best football by the end of the year. And so you love that. You love that for all the guys. And when you know, I always say to the coaches, like, anything we're preaching, we better be living ourselves. And then you have the same thing with when the captains on your team and the leaders of your football team are doing that, you know, and just focusing on how we get better and take the next steps. That trickles down to everybody. That's my theory with coaches. That's my theory with the leaders of your football team. So, you know, this isn't all that different than, you know, last year going through these things as well. You buckle down, you find solutions, you find answers to the problems, and you work yourself to get better from that.
But he got a whole lot more to say than Jonathan Gannon about Kyler Murray's injury, right? Jonathan Gannon doesn't want to say anything because he's on a loser-ass team. Nick Sirianni is just like, man, we're 4-1. Give me a break. Complained about the offense. Well, Jalen Hurts is the guy who actually has to throw the football. What does Jalen Hurts think about delivering the rock? Do you give it to Saquon? Do you throw it to A.J. Brown? Hey, Jalen, how did the meeting go?
Man, it's just us talking about the collective, talking about taking ownership for what we can and talking about how we move forward as a team so we continue to find ways to win games.
Why the need for a meeting, do you think?
Just really just teammates being teammates.
What was your takeaway in the conclusion of the meeting?
Say that again?
What was your takeaway and conclusion of the meeting?
I don't want to make this about that, right? We got a short week. We got a division opponent coming in here. I enjoyed every second of it, and I'm enjoying every second of every opportunity we have to improve. And so that's what I've always made it about. That's what I'll continue to make it about. It's truly about the collective and what we do and the opportunities we have in front of us. And so everybody in this building just wants to take advantage of that.
Your meetings in pro sports are hilarious. It's like, man, I don't want to talk about our meeting. What are we doing here? Like, we're getting ready to take on the New York Giants. If we can't beat their ass, then we got a problem. Okay, the New York Giants are 1-4. They just lost to the Saints. Yeah, if you're losing to the Saints, you bad. 26-14. Jackson Dart, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It was great what he did against the Chargers. And unfortunately for Jackson Dart and the New York Giants, you know Malik Nabers, you won't see him until next year at the earliest. Torn up knee and torn up shoulder. Darius Slayton, the next up wide receiver, he's going to be out with a hamstring. This is bad. This is horrific. The New York Giants are going to take on the Eagles tomorrow. And the Eagles are going to try to turn things around. This is going to be a bloodbath. Philadelphia is going to annihilate. So who needs a meeting when all you have to do is take on the New York Giants? I'll tell you what is absolutely hilarious. Brian Daboll, not a dummy. He's the head coach of the New York Giants. He's pretty much tying his future to the success of Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll is over here stirring the pot. He was talking to the media, and he's just like, yeah, A.J. Brown is always open, and they don't never give him the ball. Listen to a coach be a jerk.
And you watch him when he's out there get open, big, strong, fast, has good hands, can run any route you want him to run. Sure, they can throw him the ball as many times as they want. That means Saquon doesn't get it, or give it to Saquon and AJ doesn't get it. There's one ball. They're all really good players. Smitty, I mean, I've been around Smitty. I think he's an exceptional receiver too. So I think whatever they want to do or think they need to do, that's what they'll do. You have to watch the tape. AJ's open a lot.
That is hilarious. That's hilarious. He's talking about Brian Daboll. He refers to his time when he was at Alabama. So, yeah, he's real familiar with Devontae Smith. I love the fact that he just showed up and he's just like, yeah, they don't get him the ball. Yeah, if A.J. Brown doesn't get the ball, then Saquon doesn't get the ball. If Saquon doesn't get the ball, then you got to get A.J. Brown the ball. And then you got Devontae over there. And this damn guy had 118 yards receiving the other day. I like it when a coach can be a jerk. I love it. And then Saquon Barkley, this is a revenge game, right? Anytime that he will take on the New York Giants, he's going to go out there and go for the jugular. You know, we learned, and of course, Saquon Barkley has a documentary coming out about his time in the league and being traded from the Giants and his career. And we found out at one point when he wasn't getting a new contract from the Giants, he asked to be traded. John Mara said, no, bro, you count too much to the team. It's Saquon getting ready to take on his former team. How did this meeting go between you and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown? Tell me.
Yeah, we had a conversation, but I'm not going to speak too much on it. I feel like that conversation was meant to stay between us, but focus was all about the team, and I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't definitely say it wasn't like a players' meeting. When you hear a players' meeting, that's like all hell's breaking loose. It wasn't that at all. But also, we're teammates, we're all friends. Like, we were just having a conversation, and you know, I personally wish that wasn't out there, to be honest. But people saw us having a conversation, and they got out there. But I don't think we need to make too much of that. Our main focus is on the Giants.
I love it. People hear players meeting and they think all hell is breaking loose. It might. A.J. Brown is like, I'm a big-time wide receiver. Give me the ball. And Boccia, this all started because A.J. Brown was he was complaining about what? He didn't have clarity on what he was supposed to do?
It was about the route mainly, because it's bubbled up, I guess, a couple weeks now where he kind of posted stuff on his social media, of course, on his stories. And then last week, he gave up on a deep ball route that probably would have scored a touchdown and iced the game. So, yeah, it's just a bad thing where A.J. Brown isn't taking responsibility for his mistakes. Hurts is trying to be a leader, and it's just bad all around.
Yeah, one guy we didn't hear from about the meeting was A.J. Brown. But we know his response when it came to missing passes and stopping on routes. And let's listen to A.J.'s response that kind of got all this going.
From my point of view, we just missed.
It looked like you slowed up on the play. Did you not think the ball was coming your way, or what happened with that?
I didn't think the ball was coming. When I looked up, I didn't see the ball. When I looked back, I didn't see the ball. And then the ball was thrown. So, like I said, we just missed.
Did you guys talk after the play about maybe miscommunication, what happened?
No.
Well, they didn't talk about the miscommunication, so they had a team meeting, okay? Forget the team meeting. If you can't beat up on the New York Giants tomorrow, if Saquon Barkley doesn't rush for a touchdown, have a receiving touchdown, if Jalen Hurts doesn't run one in, if A.J. Brown doesn't get his hands on, I don't know, a 5 to 10 passes, 5 on a minimum, 10 being a nice round number, and a score. If that doesn't happen, then y'all should have had a team meeting. The New York Giants are enough. You can serve that team up on a platter right now and get a victory. The Eagles will be fine. The only thing that'll bring them down is kind of what has already started. Ego. Yeah. Ego. A.J. Brown's ego. Devontae Smith ain't going to ever yell about no stinking touches. Saquon Barkley, he ain't never going to argue about touches. Jalen Hurts, even for being the quarterback of the team, this guy doesn't open up his mouth and say anything if anybody's going to sink the Eagles, it's going to be A.J. Brown. And let's see how it goes. Wow. You better beat up on them Giants tomorrow. How about this Thursday night football preview you just heard? It's sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood. Square. And thank you so much to A.J. Brown for inspiring today's top six list. We'll get to the top six list in about 45 minutes from now. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest diva wide receivers that we've ever seen in the NFL. I'll give you that top six list in about 45 minutes. But on the other side of this break, speaking of quarterbacks, good ones like Jalen Hurts, we're going to talk about good quarterbacks in college. And then maybe some bad ones, too. We got a big matchup this weekend. Indiana versus Oregon. We got Fernando Mendoza versus Dante Moore. Nobody mentioned these guys in our Heisman race. And what happens to some of the guys that were, like Arch Manning and Kate Klubnik? And we'll have this conversation with Pete Fuatek on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got all this baseball going on. But I'm thinking about football. We talked about some of these NFL games. We got the Giants and the Eagles tomorrow. But there's a big game that I'm looking forward to this weekend. I wonder who's going to play. We got Texas and Oklahoma. I want to see if Mateer is going to be back. What is Arch going to do? We got Indiana versus Oregon. We got a case of probably two Heisman candidates that nobody talked about at the beginning of the season. And we got new rules when it comes to the transfer window. We got a lot going on in college football. Joining us right now is someone who covers all things college football, collegefootballnews.com. It's Pete Fuatek. Pete, how are you, man?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing? Lots of stuff going on.
There's tons going on. Well, let me ask you this. I just mentioned John Mateer. What's the latest with his hand? I know he doesn't want to miss this rivalry game.
Yeah, he doesn't want to miss the game. And, you know, I think it's gamesmanship. I mean, of course you're going to say that you'd like to play and you're going to put it out there. Well, he might play. He might not play. I don't think it matters either way particularly. I think Texas probably pulls this off no matter what. But the problem's going to be it's not really Mateer. It's going to be can Arch Manning handle the pressure because Oklahoma's got one of the best pass rushes in the country. And it's can he handle this defense and show up? And weird things happen in this rivalry matchup. I think something weird's going to happen in this. But I kind of, like I said, I'm not really all that sold that Mateer is going to go, but even if he does, I still kind of like Texas in this anyway.
So everything that we've seen, Pete, it's been quite a bit. You have Arch Manning, sometimes he looks good, sometimes he doesn't. The offensive line typically has him running for his life. How big of a factor has that been in some of his inconsistencies?
I think he's just looks like a kid who's just been way overcoached and just not to make mistakes. And it's kind of a problem in all of the quarterbacking world right now is the idea that you don't want to screw up. You don't want to make any mistakes. Don't throw the interception. And just again, don't make a mistake. And I think that's kind of becoming a problem. And they just said, go out there, Arch. Who cares if you throw a pick? Let it rip. I think you would see a much different player. But he hasn't really kind of been there so far. So, and he hasn't gotten the running game to give the support. So, this is one of those games, you know, all the Arch anger that's out there can pretty much go away with one big win over Oklahoma.
Pete Fuatek is here with us from collegefootballnews.com. Yeah, people will give him a break if he goes out there and beats Oklahoma. We know that there's a big matchup as well that we'll see on CBS this weekend. Indiana versus the Ducks. Okay, we got Fernando Mendoza. On the other hand, we have Dante Moore. You didn't hear anything, if much really at all, about these two dudes when it comes to the Heisman race. And here they are. They're like the best two quarterbacks in college football right now. What are your thoughts on what we can expect in this game?
I think it's going to be pretty standard. The narrative's probably going to follow form with these two, where Indiana plays it tough, Oregon gets the win, Oregon gets a good, strong resume win, and Indiana plays good enough where they lose this, they probably lose at Penn State, beat everyone else, And both of these teams are in the college football playoff no matter what. The winner goes on to play for the Big Ten Championship. But, yeah, both these teams are good. No, I mean, Indiana's got talent. Indiana's as well-coached as anybody in America. But Oregon's just playing lights out right now. And I think it's going to be a tough, lower-scoring game. It's not going to be a shootout. But Oregon wins. And they get a little breathing room late, but Indiana certainly shows up and looks strong.
Is it realistic? Is it too early to kind of pin Mendoza and Moore as two dudes who are going to be Heisman finalists?
I mean, a little, because I don't think anybody knows who they are. So outside of the college football world who are really into this, they're not really household names. So I think we still have yet to see, let's see what Carson Beck does as Miami keeps going. Let's see what some of these other, top quarterback, Ty Simpson is starting to rip it up for Alabama. I think as we keep going on, whichever teams keep rising up to the top and keep playing well, Ohio State doesn't have that guy yet, but they're still number one. So it's a bad year for the Heisman, but there are lots and lots of quarterbacks out there who are playing just well enough where on the right stage, you can see them come up with something big. But I still think we're going to have to wait another several weeks before we really start to have this Heisman thing start to bust out a little bit.
Well, Pete, you mentioned Penn State. We know about the loss that they took to Oregon. We know about the big L that they took to UCLA. This program is basically just kind of patchwork together, and Penn State goes ahead and takes that L. What has gone on? Is James Franklin, is he just lost? Is Drew Aller, is he no longer the prospect that the people thought he would be? What the hell is going on in Happy Valley?
Bad day, wrong thing. I mean, look, it was a gut check performance against Oregon. That's again, great Oregon team that could have gone either way, acceptable win in overtime, no big deal. And they just didn't really show up for UCLA. Okay, they have to travel across the country. Here's our breather. And UCLA all of a sudden came out and like a house of fire. Nico Yamalava, I mean, you just talked about Moore and Mendoza. Yamalava might be the best quarterback in the Big Ten. He just doesn't have the guys around him.
Yeah.
But you saw why no one wants to say it because everyone's still mad at how things went down in Tennessee and everything. He's kind of Jaden Daniels light. I mean, he's got all the talent. And he was able to finally kind of unleash it and show it off. And even with as bad as everything went for Penn State, they still almost pulled that out. So I'm not ready to bury Penn State yet, but they do have that game at Ohio State still to deal with. I think they come out and rock against Northwestern this week just to kind of show that, okay, we're still pretty good.
Pete Fuatek joining us from collegefootballnews.com. We had a caller hit us up, I believe it was yesterday, about the Ohio State University. And he hit me with, hey, when are we going to get some respect? And nobody's talking about us. I had to tell him that's a good thing. That means things are going perfectly fine. You gotta wait. What are your thoughts on Ohio State? We know they're going to the playoff. We know their defense is going to beat the hell out of everybody. What is your impression of them?
Yeah, that poor little engine that could Ohio State for. Boo-hoo. Someone give us any love. Like, Ohio State fans really are the most miserable. It's the most miserable fan base in all of sports. It's just... they are never, ever happy, no matter what happens. I mean, they're great. I mean, it's a great team. We'll see a little more over the coming weeks. Just, they have not really been stress tested yet by a high-end passing game that includes Texas at the moment.
That's right.
They'll be pushed a little this week. Illinois has got a downfield passing attack, but their defense is playing historically well. And it's just a team that, Jeremiah Smith hasn't quite busted out. We haven't really seen a ton out of Julian Sain yet, so we're still kind of waiting to see the offense really bust out, but they don't need to because the defense is so good.
Yeah, we'll see how that works, man. People always got to find something to – I love it, Pete, when people talk about their teams. Nobody's talking about us. Nobody's talking – like, what do you want people to say? To pat you on the back? Like, who cares?
Well,
you just won.
Yeah, people are talking about Bill Belichick. That's not a positive. I'm happy about that. It's just – you're fine. You're the number one team in the country. Oh, we're disrespected. Okay, I think you're fine.
Well, you mentioned Belichick. Do you think there is we know everything that's going on. Now they're canceling Hulu projects. We got coaches on the team suspended for, going out with guys and showing them around. Do you think there's a possibility that Bill Belichick at the end of the year goes, screw this, I'm going back to media?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, because it takes a certain skill set. And the thing about if you're a Bill Belichick and you're that age, you don't want to be around for a big rebuild. You know, you're not there just to sort of, you know, okay, let's get this together in 5 years, we're going to be pretty good. No, you need to win and win now. And that you do that with lots of transfers, and it's still hard to do. So it's not a good situation when you have all the pressure in the world that you have to win now, and your team's not quite up to snuff. And the real lousy part about it is this is an easy schedule. They should be a whole lot better than they are, and they're just not getting the job done. And obviously this has just been a painful start to the season for them.
Well, you talk about how Bill Belichick needs to try to bring in talent. There's been an adjustment to the transfer portal. What the heck is going on there, Pete? It feels like they can never get it right.
Well, the problem that everyone keeps forgetting, and it's kind of the strange part about it, is these guys are theoretically at least supposed to go to school. And so, like, you have to still sign up for classes. You still need to enroll. You still need to, you know, figure out, you know, your credits and your, you know, your transfer credits and all the parts of moving on to a new school. And it's got to start on a semester basis. And so you don't want to have a bunch of transfer things happening when school is going on necessarily. So the timing of this is you need to be a little bit of a window in there where it gives everyone time to adjust, because you want the coaches to be able to know, all right, well, I don't need to go after linebackers here. I can go after these guys there. And these guys, the actual players themselves, need a chance to, you know, sign up and get books and sweatshirts and figure out their apartments and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Do you mean to tell me these guys do work? They go to school?
Not really, but they're at least supposed to. So at least in theory, they do.
Yeah, Pete Fuatek here with us from collegefootballnews.com. You know, in conclusion, I want to ask you about this. We've read that the NCAA is close to letting these student athletes bet, but not on obviously their own sports or anything at the college level, but on pro sports. Do you think that even allowing them to do this opens up Pandora's box, or is this a bad idea, something about nothing?
I mean, they can't regulate it, and they're all doing it anyway. So, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it's not ideal, obviously, but instead of spending all your time trying to regulate it and sanction it, maybe there's a way to do it where you can watch over it or keep some sort of tabs on, you know, how they're betting, because most kids are doing it. It's a college kid thing. Everyone's on their phones. Everyone's doing it on all the apps. And the more out there it is, the more you can at least hope they're not betting on whether the kicker on, you know, XYZ State isn't betting on whether or not they're going to win or lose by a field goal. So you need as much transparency as possible. So I think that's why they're going that route as opposed to spending all their time trying to figure out every single little aspect of the betting center. There's no good answer here. It's all just ripe for just all sorts of problems. But for now, I think you just do it and you hope for the best.
Yeah, can't wait to see what disaster comes out of this one eventually. But you're right.
Exactly.
You got to let them just be free. We'll see what happens. Hey, Pete, we appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they could follow and keep up with you and everything that you do with collegefootballnews.com.
All the picks, predictions, and game previews are going up there throughout the rest of the next couple of days for all the another big week of college football. It's all going up over the next 48 hours or so.
Hey, Pete, we appreciate you. We'll catch you soon down the line, okay?
Hey, good talking to you. Have a good one.
All the time. Thank you to Pete Fuatek. Go ahead and check him out at collegefootballnews.com. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back. Before we get to the top six list, before we talk about some of the biggest diva wide receivers that we've ever seen in the NFL, I want to talk to you about somebody else. I don't know if people would consider him to be a diva. He doesn't have a job in the NBA right now. His name is Russell Westbrook. Where's Russell? And then Giannis. Giannis is not a diva, but is he starting some drama in Milwaukee? I'll explain on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What's going on in the Major League Baseball playoffs? What else is going on in the world of sports? Here he is to tell us, Rich Ackerman with a newsflash.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Thank you to Pete Fuatek for joining us from collegefootballnews.com to kind of walk through everything that we can expect, what we've seen last weekend, things that'll bleed into this weekend, and ultimately what may happen at the end of the year. Like Bill Belichick saying, all right, that's enough. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. Like, go back to media. You probably have a happier time. Coaching this college side of things doesn't look all that fun for Bill. It stinks. We know you ain't going back to the NFL. Hey, speaking of the NFL, in about 15 or so minutes at the top of the hour, it's going to be time for a new top six list. It's what I do every single Wednesday. Today, we're taking a look at some of the biggest diva wide receivers that we've ever seen in the NFL. Thank you so much, A.J. Brown, for the inspiration. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest names and players at the wideout spot that have been bigger divas than him. Yeah, that top six list coming your way at the top of the hour. Before we get there, speaking of divas, no disrespect to Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's a diva. He certainly had his moments where you could say he was a diva. He's not shy on speaking his mind. But right now, it looks like Russell Westbrook, he may not even have an NBA team this year, right? He's not on the squad. Last year, Russell Westbrook played for the Denver Nuggets. And as it stands right now in training camp, he's nowhere to be found. The 2017 NBA MVP, Mr. Triple-Double, he may not start on the squad this year. He may have to get picked up at some point. Right now, he's not there. Now, we do know this. I don't think he's cooked. Last year for Denver, 13 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds in 75 games. Russell Westbrook is about to be 37 years old. There may be times where he's turning the ball over. He can't shoot. I think at this stage, people are like, okay, he can't do any of those things. Why do we even want to bring him in? There comes a point in time where your name and your personality is bigger than whatever is left of your game. And I think that's the case as it stands right now with Russell Westbrook. The Houston Rockets, you might recall, they brought on Kevin Durant. He's going to make his debut tonight in the preseason. But then you also had Fred VanVleet, who's now out for the season before they even get started. And so the Houston Rockets are down a point guard. You might remember a couple of years ago in the pandemic, Russell Westbrook, he was on the Houston Rockets. Kevin Durant spoke today. He was on Up and Adams. He basically told Kay Adams, you know what? I think Russell Westbrook should be in the NBA. I wouldn't mind playing with him. Listen to this.
I have no clue. I haven't asked anybody about that. I heard that too. I haven't. I don't know. It hasn't been brought to my desk at all. And usually when stuff like that happens, it's pretty loud. But I haven't really heard it outside of like...
Would that
fans,
be cool?
Fans on the internet. Yeah, Russ is a legend. And I think he deserves to be in the NBA right now. And I think he deserves to walk out of the NBA on his terms. So, yeah, that would be dope. But it's not my decision. It's not my decision. Leaving that up to whoever makes those decisions for now.
I give Kevin Durant credit for sticking up to or for Russell Westbrook. Because, of course, there was a big amount of time where, you know, even when they were playing, Kevin Durant had every opportunity to go, do you see how I'm playing? Like, we see what you do, but you just out here jacking up shots and I'm the actual shooter here. He had every opportunity to do that and bury him. He never did it. He just left and won championships. He never took a dump on Russell Westbrook. Never. And so to see at this stage of his career, for him to try to give him a lifeline as to how he should end his career, I give him credit. Now, Kevin Durant, he has other things to worry about, like opening up the season against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kevin Durant was asked about taking on his former team now that they finally won a championship. And he's like, what do I care? I won two titles without him.
I just think that's what you call an impact on the league. I just think I've been around for so long that that storyline has still has some type of legs for you to be the first game on his new broadcast. I don't know whether to think that's cool or not, but it is what it is. I know what it is. It should be a fun night, though. OKC getting their rings. I'm in the building. Hopefully people, they pan over to see my reaction. That's really what it, you know, them getting their rings is the most important thing, though.
What's your reaction going to be? You thought about it?
I'm like, why?
Happy, right?
I have no, why it's a story. I'm not happy or like sad or mad I missed out, because I mean, I've won a champion, two of them, for one. And then this was, and for two, this was like a decade ago.
He's like, man, I'm over it. You should be over it too. And we know Kevin Durant had his time with the Golden State Warriors winning those two titles, and then he moved on. He said, I'm getting out of here. He went to Brooklyn, and then, yeah, things haven't worked out for him since. Let's see if he can work out, finish his career with a young team with the Houston Rockets. Meanwhile, we know the Giannis Antetokounmpo rumors, they were running wild yesterday. At the start of Tuesday, we got the story from Shams Charania that in the offseason, the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks, they looked at a trade for Giannis. It wasn't all that serious. It was reported that Giannis, if he was going to be traded anywhere, he would want to go to the New York Knicks. All a report. Today, Giannis spoke to the media. This is what Giannis had to say about the rumors of him wanting to go to the Knicks.
First of all, I haven't read that story. When the season started, I tried to get off social media, tried to focus on my craft and the team. But yeah, I've said this many times, like I want to be in a situation that I can win, and now I'm here. I believe in this team, I believe in my teammates. You know, I'm here to lead this team to wherever we can go. And it's definitely going to be hard, we're going to take it day by day, but I'm here. So all the other extra stuff does not matter. I think I've communicated with my teammates, communicated with the people that I respect and love, that the moment that I step in on this court or in this facility and wear this jersey, the rest does not matter. I'm locked into whatever I have in front of me. Now if in 6-7 months I changed my mind, I think that's human too. You're allowed to make any decision you want, but I'm locked in. I'm locked into this team. I'm locked into these guys, to this group, and to my coaching staff and to myself.
You know, I got to give him credit for being honest, right? You get a lot of athletes who sit in front of the guys and lie, or they're jerks on their way out the door to try to force their way out. Giannis actually said, for right now, I'm focused in on being a Buck. But I'm a human being. I might change my mind. Like that, I think everybody knows that already. I think most smart people do. He's like, hey, in 6-7 months, if I don't want to be here and I want out, then so be it. I still don't believe that he would publicly force his way out, but I think he would let it be known. I don't want to be here anymore. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks, what choice do you have? If Giannis doesn't want to be there, you move on. Simple as that. He was asked about the offseason and looking at other teams. He says, again, I'm with the Milwaukee Bucks for now.
Temptation. You know, temptation. You know, like when you, you're going through the amusement park, or you go through the outside and you're not wearing your wedding ring like me now, and the people are looking at you, looking at you like, oh, he's, you know, he's kind of handsome. Oh, it's temptation. And that starts when the season ends until the season begins. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to approach me or approach, I don't know, my agents. And they're going to say, hey, this is a possibility, that's a possibility, this is a possibility, this is a possibility. But at the end of the day, ultimately, I'm going to make a decision. My decision today is that I'm here. And I'm committed to this team.
All right. Well, the countdown is on. Let's be real. I don't think he's going to be sticking around. I think most people understand. The clock is ticking on Giannis. It didn't happen this summer. It doesn't appear that it's happening right now. I don't know if it's going to happen at the trade deadline in February, or maybe it happens at the conclusion of the season, maybe in June or July around the draft and free agency. But the clock is ticking. I mean, you can take a look at the roster for the Milwaukee Bucks. Where's the help? Where's the consistency? Where's the surefire thing? And where's the depth? I don't see it right now. At least in Milwaukee, their fans can be positive about the Brewers. They still hold a 2-0 series lead against the Cubs. But right now, the Cubs lead the Brewers 4-3. It's the top of the seventh. You know the Brewers are going to try to get another run in to try to tie it and keep things moving the best way that they can. Meanwhile, in the Bronx, New York, of course, well, we heard this from Rich Ackerman. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Continuing on a tear, an RBI single, and Toronto already has a lead on the New York Yankees. So we'll keep you up to date on all the scores, everything going on as the show continues. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, thank you so much to A.J. Brown for the inspiration. I'm going to share with you a new top six list of diva wide receivers. Who are some of the biggest divas to catch passes in the NFL? I'm going to tell you who they are on the other side of the break. It's what we do every Wednesday, a new top six list. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.